You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Kind of sad I didn't see this movie, The Leisure Seeker, because it sounds like it's about me. Just by title alone.
You have Alzheimer's?
Oh, is that
well,
it?
You are dying, and you forget things a lot.
I don't remember. Do I have Alzheimer's?
Who are you?
What was that old internet joke? I may have Alzheimer's, but at least I don't have Alzheimer's. Sorry, that's inappropriate.
Hilarious.
I'm aware.
Is it really?
Well, this movie stakes would have you believe that, no, that's not that bad.
Well, Bo and Michael did, in fact, see this film. So what the hell is The Leisure Seeker about?
All right, then. It's about a Winnebago.
What a Winnebago. Sorry.
I mean, it kind of very much is. So, you know, we're offered some relatively high stakes. We have a married couple. They've been happily married for a long time. There's Helen Mirren playing Ella, who is she's a Southern Belle. And then she married a Yankee, who is, Donald Sutherland playing John. And they're going through more than a rough patch. They're kind of going through their last patch because, as it establishes very early on, Ella is sick, probably with cancer or, you know, some other kind of disease of that sort. And John, has
very late stage Alzheimer's.
Well, I don't know.
It's very late stage, but pronounced. It's very obvious.
To the extent that, you know, on any given day, he's in and out. You know, sometimes he's right on the fucking ball and he's like, oh, hey.
He's like Hemingway.
I love you, darling. And you know, let's talk about the things of the present. And then he's gone and he's somewhere else and talking about stuff that has happened. And then there's shit or he's just literally, he's like, I don't know who I am. So
it's an existential comedy.
It kind of is though.
It starts with their son, played by Chris McKay, Will, shows up at their house and they are gone. And he goes out to their back garage and sees that their, you know, 70s era Winnebago is gone.
Named the
Leisure Seeker or the Leisure Seeker if you're British or the Leisure Seeker if you're French.
If you're French and don't actually pronounce it that way, but fuck it.
And they've basically taken it upon themselves to like, look, we've got a last hurrah in us. Let's go travel down the Eastern Seaboard from Massachusetts, where they currently live, you know, and basically kind of recapture the road trips that they did when they were young parents, and you know, check out some of the sites that they did. And the ultimate end of this would be to go to Key West to visit Ernest Hemingway's house. And John was a very respected high school English teacher, and Hemingway is you know, to a great extent, Hemingway and James Joyce are his favorite writers, is what you derive from this. And she kind of wants to take him down there to the house where all the cats with six fingers live, the polydactyl cats. And you know, they'll drink mojitos, and that'll be their kind of last hurrah.
Damn it, now I want a polydactyl cat. Shit.
You were my first thought when they showed those cats. I was like, Chris would have loved this part.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who used to have one they called Bigfoot. Because, you know,
and so, basically what you're getting at, I mean, it's a road trip movie with occasionally them checking back in with their son, and also there is a daughter, and they're both concerned, but not to the extent where they want to call the cops on them.
Well, one of them is.
Yeah, they kind of wrestle with it, but yeah, it's just like, and so there you go. And the stakes being that these are two sick people, one of whom has extreme memory problems, and mayhem ensues.
I do like that we seem to be getting a new slew of films about they're utilizing much older actors
exactly.
and doing actually interesting stories as opposed to, you know, that Hollywood version of like, let's get the gang back together of old friends and pull heist or something.
Very much. You know? Yeah. This isn't like Old Dogs or anything like that. The movie that this most reminded me of, oddly enough, was Philomena. Which is a very good movie with high stakes. It's Judi Dench playing a woman who's, you know, her baby was she stayed in an Irish orphanage and her baby was taken away from her, or not an Irish orphanage, but an you know Irish Catholic place where they take your baby away from you. If you know anything about that,
those places are great.
Yeah, horrible phase of Irish history. And you had, Steve Coogan as, you know, kind of the guy who's interviewing her, but taking her along. And this kind of reminded me of that in that you're dealing with, you know, two, elderly people that are dealing with real issues.
This movie is actually kind of terrifying here and there because, like, Donald Sutherland, his character with his Alzheimer's, is that every now and then when he does have his, you know, all his functions, sometimes tries to be cute about things. And the entire time I was like, I don't know when he's trying to be cute and when he legitimately has forgotten something. And that worried me more than anything.
Yeah,
as,
the one
as
thing
it went
guys
on.
With Alzheimer's should not do is play jokes on their friends that they're having an Alzheimer's.
Well, and here's the thing that kind of didn't work for me is they do find, you know, mayhem does ensue. But every time they find themselves in mayhem, right before we get to any kind of point where it's just like, oh, holy shit, this is bad. Something really horrible is going to happen. There's a twist of events that gets them out of it. You know, they kind of skip lightly from one situation, like, you know, at one point they're pulled over trying to change a tire and, you know, some guys tried to hold them up. At other points, you know, he goes to a political rally and, you know, you're just waiting for the fact, like, he goes to he goes to a Trump rally and you're waiting, you know, and he's obviously not of that bent and you're waiting for his memory to come and him to get into, like, you know, some shit with the people that are, you know, supporting Make America Great Again. And, you know, right before that, he's kind of swept away through circumstance to not have to deal with that. And so you have these stakes, but, you know, the movie really deals from the bottom of the deck with everything because it's like, hey, here's a situation. Maybe something really bad's going to happen. Nah, it won't. They get back in the van and they go on their merry way.
Yeah, the time frame, because the movie tells you very in the very beginning, it just takes place in August 2016, just before the election happens. And so every now and then you'll see in the background, you know, a Hillary Clinton supporter or a Trump rally, but none of it really matters. Like, it's just sort of there, which is one of my biggest issues with the movie is that, like, why set it at any time frame, really? Like, you could just let it be, like, you don't even have to say what time it is, because it doesn't matter at the end of the day, and that's my biggest problem with it. And like Bo was saying, every time they get into some shenanigans, they get out of it super easily, even for somebody with massive Alzheimer's and somebody with cancer. Because, like towards the very end, there's this point where, like, oh, like, well, what are they going to do from there? They'll just walk away. It's like, oh, okay, sure. That, how?
Yeah, and then, you know, after four or five incidences of that, it doesn't feel genuine. Whereas the, you know, and here's the strength of the movie. The interaction between Sutherland and Mirren is incredible, and you know, seeing them do their stuff is great because they're two master actors, you know, and that is always going to be entertaining on some level. And their interactions is they're kind of, you know, going through a period where they've lived with each other almost their entire lives, but because of the nature of their separate illnesses, they're finding out these things that they really never knew about each other. That stuff is fascinating. I've never read the source novel it was an American novel. The director here is,
Paolo Verzi.
Paolo Verzi, who is a Italian director. This is his first all English language film.
Yeah, they used an Italian tax credit.
This was a dual production. It's as much an Italian film as it is an American film. And when they are solely dealing with each other, it can be fascinating. And there are a number of films that have dealt with, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie with Julie Christie, Sarah Pauly did, From You, I believe it is.
I think so, yeah.
Which is amazing. Because this is, I was actually listening to an episode of The Moth with Tim Cook where his mother passed away his father passed away from Alzheimer's. And it's just like, the horrible thing about this is it just rips the person away from you.
Right.
Piece by piece. And there's no payoff for that because you just get to the point where they're just gone.
It's one
completely,
of the one of the worst ways to lose someone.
Exactly. Yeah, but they're still there. And when they approach that and kind of the idea of, should we be proactive about this? It does become engrossing. But then you get into a shenanigan episode again, they get out of it, and so the peaks and valleys in this movie as you go through the journey down the road, they just never get high enough to really bring it to be any kind of true statement on either the illnesses of these two people or what their relationship ultimately means.
Well, it sounds like it sells you right from the get-go emotionally on connecting because we all have some degree of connection of like having a loved one with Alzheimer's or with cancer and that slow progression of knowing they're going to be lost. But then it sounds like it doesn't really stick that landing. It just kind of like, well, we've got that. And then
it just doesn't have anything to say about it.
And that's exactly it. This movie is, as far as just a performance by the two characters in it, it would be great if this movie was just Helen Mirren and just Donald Sutherland. But bringing in everybody else,
Gregory.
And that's sad because this is Dick Gregory's final appearance and he really doesn't do all that much. And there are some people in here. I've got to say, as the cast goes, Christian McKay plays Will Spencer, who's their son, is just, I'm having difficulty remembering like a portrayal of somebody on screen that is an integral part, supposed to be an integral part of the movie that I just felt was so ham-handed. It's just like, because he only has one level of being, and they allude to the fact that he is a gay man, and he's just kind of this upset, campy gay man throughout the thing, and it just never lands, and he's never given anything to do, and there's no reconciliation or anything with there's one spot with the daughter where she talks to Donald Sutherland's character, and he's lucid, but he obviously doesn't know what time he is in, which does end up being fairly moving. And you never get anything like that with the son. And I'm just like, well, why is this guy even here?
Yeah.
You could have easily have just done this with the daughter.
That's disappointing to hear.
Yeah, everything with his character goes nowhere. Like every now and then they mention him throughout the movie. And you keep expecting him to be like, hey, we sometimes didn't treat you like the way you wanted to be kind of thing, but nothing ever happens with that. He just sort of keeps going, well, like, I hate how things go on with my parents. My sister is their favorite kid. And honestly, after watching this movie, I'm like, yeah, she is. She is their favorite kid. They didn't give a fuck about you. Huh. And which is unfortunate because he seems to be the one that cares the most about these two characters from the very beginning. And even then you're just like, You just have one emotion throughout this entire movie. Like, we saw one other emotion at best, and even then it was mixed at best. Like Bo said, the main thing that's the best thing to watch is when Donald Sutherland and Helen Mirren have these moments together, trying to, like, she's constantly trying to get him to remember things. And every now and then, it's very sweet when he does remember certain things. And it's very heartbreaking when he remembers certain things that he probably wish he hadn't remembered.
So it sounds like it has moments that are genuinely touching, but overall at the end you were like, well, what was the point of all that?
Oh, absolutely. Even to the point where when the movie ended, I couldn't stop looking at Bo and be like, what the fuck was the point of this? Like, I don't fucking understand. Like, what was the point of the way this ended? Because it ends on a downer, I guess is the best way of putting it. But I was just really...
That was kind of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, which is what Bo said too. And even I was just, but that one is what made me more mad, because it was like, if this had something to say... Right. Then that ending would have been fine.
Would have been better if aliens had come down, cured Alzheimer's and cancer, given them their youth back, and then we live in a utopia.
Yeah, wouldn't that just be the invasion of the body snatchers again? Because
it would have been Cocoon 3.
Yeah, there you go.
You're making
me want to watch Cocoon 3.
Just going to final thoughts, I mean, once again, the only thing that this movie, I think, is offering anybody is the performance between the two leads. Like Philomena, this is one of those movies. There's kind of like this art house subgenre now that is like movies that you can watch with your discriminating film fan elder parent and, you know, have something to talk about at the end.
Yeah.
Like Philomena, this is something that I can easily imagine, you know, watching this on TV
or
with my mom.
Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
Yeah.
The Hero.
Absolutely. Yeah. They really are, you know, they're all of these classic baby boomer actors are doing these, kind of great tour de forces. And it holds up a little bit that way, but as far as, you know, the overall narrative, like I said, the peaks and the valleys are so shallow, you never get any payoff. This movie just isn't saying enough, for me to give it, anything higher than, 7 Winnebago Indians out of 10.
What about you, Mike?
Well, you guys brought up, you know, The Hero and Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. Both of those movies, I felt like they had something to say.
Yeah. Oh, and I adored Hero.
No,
that's not what I'm saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. No, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get at is that this movie, I can't see myself showing to really anybody all that much. Because this movie in itself has Alzheimer's. Like, it's getting to a point where it wants to try to tell you something, and then it just forgets, and then it talks about... Yes. And it's just... And it bothered me so much, because every time I was like, oh, you're getting somewhere, it's like, oh, nope, you lost it. And it just kept happening, and it just kept happening, and it just kept frustrating me the more it went on. And it was one of those things that, like, I had a relative with Alzheimer's as well. And the
so
way it ends,
connection.
Yeah, and you know, and the way it ends, it bothered me that much more, because it was one of those things where it's like, I couldn't show this to my parents in any way. My mom would be pissed if I showed this to her. She'd be like, "Why? But why?" I'm like, "That I don't know either." Overall, yeah, the performances with Donald Sutherland and Tony Collette are the only really good aspect of this entire film. Everything about this film just is annoying to me, because it's just, there's nothing, it doesn't have anything to say. It treats the son like garbage. The daughter is kind of just there to kind of want to make you be like, well, that's kind of sweet. And there's a neighbor character at one point. Like, I think
Dana Ivey, who does, you know, like, she's a great character actress, and they don't really offer her anything other than giving her a very rich backstory, which she's never around for. And so her best performances are in old photographs of her that they photoshopped into the
slides. A lot of Photoshop
that they keep
pictures
on showing her.
There's two running gags in this entire film, and one of them is with Dick Gregory's character, as well as the other one with the character we just mentioned.
Dan's character.
And you know, the Dan Coleman running gag is probably my favorite part of this entire film. Because that payoff, even, like, it still wasn't super great, but it was probably the best thing that I got out of this movie. But I honestly couldn't give this any higher than 5 out of 10 hamburgers.
Nice.
Fair enough. Well, guys, that was our review of...
The Leisure Seeker.
The Leisure Seeker.
That's right. With our
you do have Alzheimer's. It's Monkey. You know this.
Oh, my reviewers, Monkey and Jack. So there you go. Thanks, everybody. I think.
What?
Where am I?